So we'll start off today by examining what I've titled Me and My Bible. Hallelujah. Me and My Bible. What did I say? So what we are going to be looking at is things, or we're going to be answering questions like, what is the Bible? Why the Bible? Why should I read the Bible? Why should I study the Bible? What is the relevance of the Bible? You know, we say the Bible is the Word of God, don't we? How many of us have heard that saying before, that the Bible is the Word of God? Let me see your hand, right? Okay. How is the Bible the Word of God? How? Is it that God was talking and people were writing? Is it that God himself is the one that wrote it? Is it, you know, how is the Bible the Word of God? How can I trust what the Bible says, right? Those are some of the questions that we'll attempt to be answering in this series. So, Me and My Bible, part one, and then you can subtitle this, How to Study My Bible, part one, right? So, the overall topic is Me and My Bible, and then the subtopic is How to Study My Bible. Hallelujah. The subtopic is why I should study my Bible, not how. Why I should study my Bible. So, Me and My Bible, overall topic, subtitled, Why I Should Study My Bible. Amen. And what I'll be doing, or what I'll attempt to do today, is to quickly run through about four key reasons why the believer should study the Bible. Four important, now, there are many reasons, but these are four important ones that I've been able to identify. Hallelujah. I've been able to identify these ones, and I believe that if we focus our hearts on them, we can, it will do us much good. Your Christianity will be much benefited from paying attention to these three reasons. One of the things I've noticed over the years as a believer is that most times people have the wrong reasons for studying the Bible. People read the Bible for wrong reasons. From as wrong as they feel by reading the Bible, the devil will not come to them, or the devil will not tempt them just because they are reading the Bible. You know that's not true, right? The devil will not stay away from you just because he saw you reading your Bible. See, this person is reading the Bible. Okay. I know not to go to the person. Hallelujah. You know? It is in reading the Bible, understanding what it says, and applying it to your life. That is what keeps the devil away. The Bible says, whom resist? Talking about, you know, the believer and the devil. It says we should resist the devil. Amen. And the way you do that is by reading your Bible, getting information concerning God, and living your life in a way that is consistent with the will of God. And that is how you resist the devil and he flees from you. Amen. So I was saying that is a funny reason to study your Bible. There are also other reasons, such as to be able to quote. So when I open my mouth and just say, you know, the Bible says in, and I just go off 10 chapters just all at once, they say, Ranka Dede, you're too great. That's a wrong motive. That's a wrong reason. Hallelujah. So if you're studying your Bible for that other kind of reason, then it's not good enough. That's a wrong motive to study scriptures. So we'll look at these four. Number one, it's to know God. Hallelujah. The number one reason why we study our Bible, or why you should study the Bible, is to know God. The reason is because, you see, the Bible is, don't worry, I'm using a dictation style. So this is the explanation part. When I want you to write, I will say, so write, okay? So you don't necessarily need to write when I am. You know, I mean, you can if you want, but pay attention to what I'm saying. And then when I'm dictating, you can write. Hallelujah. The primary way God wants you to know him is through the Bible. Hallelujah. It's through the Word of God. Now, God speaks in, the Spirit said to me. God speaks in, Sister so-and-so, come. I received a word for you that God speaks in different ways. But you see, the primary way, by that I mean the most basic, the foundational way God speaks to a believer, a child of God, is through his word. Many of us don't want to learn what the word says, but we want to be able to hear God speak. It doesn't happen that way. Hallelujah. God speaks to us primarily through his word. If you do not, if you cannot hear the voice of God from the pages of the Bible, then trust me, you will not hear the word of God or the voice of God in your heart or in your spirit. The man who would hear the Spirit of God saying things to him is the man who has spent time studying the word of God and has had conviction and faith built in his heart. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, are you there? All scripture. Somebody say all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. So the entirety of the word of God is given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. This is a midweek service, so we can go into a little bit of details. Amen. That phrase, given by the inspiration of God, is just one word in the Greek. And it means all scripture is divinely breathed. All scripture is divinely breathed. That is, God breathed all of scripture to us. In other words, that is how God wants you to know him, because this is his revelation. Amen. And he says it is profitable, that is, it is useful for what? Doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word that means teaching. Amen. Teaching, or sometimes learning, if you like. So that what that scripture is saying is the purpose of God inspiring the scriptures to be written is so that you can be taught. Hallelujah. It's like you get to class and a man says, well, I am your chemistry teacher. For this class, we will be using this textbook, Fundamentals of Chemistry by J.K. Emmanuel, volume 2 is the one we are using. And the purpose of using that textbook to teach that course is so that you will understand the course. So the textbook forms the basis of the man's engagement with the class. So if he says something that is not in the textbook or that is against what is in the textbook, you say, well, you said that this is our primary material in this course. However, you have just said something that when I read the textbook was saying something else. Do you understand? It is much in that same way that the Bible is the basis for your engagement, for your learning as a believer. So that the lecturer can come and say something or clarify the things that are in the Bible, but it does not change the fact that the primary material, your primary source of information concerning that course is what? The textbook, and not the teacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's write now. So I said that number one reason why you should study your Bible is to know God, right? So you can write, the primary way God wants us to know him is through the Bible. The primary way God wants us to know him is through the Bible. Now, there's another advantage in writing. When you write, apart from just hearing, you also remember easily when you write. How many of us know that? No matter how bad your memory is, if you wrote something I mean, you can remember it better if you go back to it again and look at it after, but you stand the the man who does not write can forget immediately after the service. But you see, the man who writes stands a greater chance of not forgetting for the simple reason that he wrote. So that you are not just, because to write, you must hear it, it must sink into your subconscious, your intelligent subconscious, for you to be able to write it. And so that helps you remember it more. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said, what did I say? The primary way that God wants us to know him is through the Bible. The primary way, now this can make the class a bit slower. That is a topic that we would have done in one Bible study session. It may take us two or three because after the explanation, we are now writing. But at the end of the day, it's better for us. You are the better for it. So the primary way that God wants us to know him is through the Bible. Hallelujah. The Bible says, this is real going back to school. This is really what it means to be a Christian, a disciple, regardless of how old you are. So, well, I have spent 50 years as a believer. I got born again when I was 14 years old. This is 50 years later. You are a student. Amen. We'll forever be students of the word. Amen. So I said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that, of course, you already know what it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Full stop. You can put dot, dot, dot to show that that's not the end of that verse, right? It continues, but we're not quoting the whole verse. That all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Dot, dot, dot. What this means, these Bible study sessions are for people who are serious with their Christianity. So please, if you didn't bring your writing materials today because you didn't know, please bring them next week. It's important. We'll be asking questions. We'll also have the opportunity to ask our own questions. You know, it goes on to enrich your understanding. You can buy a book specifically for this purpose. Okay, this is my midweek Bible study notebook. Amen. So where did I stop? Where did I stop? Let's see if you're paying attention. Sorry? Is given by the inspiration of God. And I said, this means that the Bible is divinely breathed. The Bible is divinely breathed. This means that the Bible is divinely breathed. B-R-E-A-T, that would be H now, and then E-D. The Bible is divinely breathed. In other words, what does that mean? In other words, God gave expression. In other words, God gave expression. God gave expression through the words God expresses himself through the words in the Bible. In other words, God expresses himself through the words in the Bible. Therefore, his person, that is God's person, you understand what that means? Therefore, his person, power, providence, Providence means his benevolence, his provision, his blessing, if you like. In other words, his person, power, providence, and plan. His person, his power, his providence, and his plan for us individually. His person, power, providence, plan for us individually and for the ages, and for the ages, and for the ages is only known, is only known through the Bible. In other words, his person, power, providence, and plan for us individually and for the ages is only known through the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's number one reason why any believer at all should be studying the Bible, to get to know God. To get to what? Know God. Amen. Number two reason why you should be studying the Bible is for growth, for your growth as a believer. For your growth as a believer. So you can stop writing. Let's take the explanation and then we'll take the dictation. So I said for your growth as a believer. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Can we have another mic so that I'm sure that people are not sleeping off on me? First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. If you get there, just read it for us. Hallelujah. As newborn babies, I like that translation. It says, crave spiritual milk that you may grow up in your what? Salvation. So what translation is that? Easy. Sorry? NIV. Really? Interesting. Okay. So Peter is telling us that you have been saved, right? I'm explaining, you don't need to write. We'll dictate later, don't worry. Peter is saying that you have been saved, and in order to grow, you must crave. That's the word desire in the KJV. Amen. Yeah, and it means to yearn, to dote upon, that is, to intensely crave possession, whether lawfully or wrongfully. Look at that. One of the meanings of this word is to intensely crave possession of something, whether lawfully or wrongfully or unlawfully. That is, I just want this thing at all costs. That's the word crave there, or desire. To endlessly desire, to greatly long after something. Hallelujah. What does this tell us? It's telling us that you must want the word of God at all costs. That's the word desire. As newborn babes is the King James old way of saying babies. As the way a baby that has just been born desires its mother's milk, that's the same way you should desire the word of God. Why? So that you will grow. You know, when a baby is at the mother's breast taking milk, an earthquake can be happening here. The baby is unmoved. All he cares about is that thing. Sometimes, some people are screaming and yelling all around. It doesn't care. Just give me what I want. Hallelujah. It is in that same way that he's saying that the believer He's saying that the believer must desire, crave, want it at all costs. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, because believers growing is one of the main reasons why we are on this earth. Your growth is one of the reasons why you didn't just get born again and God just killed you and took you to heaven. It is so that you can grow, so that you can mature and develop. So that you can do what? Grow, mature, and develop. They all mean the same thing, actually. So that you can grow, mature, and develop is one of the main reasons why you are left on this earth after salvation. The other being so that you can tell other people about Jesus. Hallelujah. So, God wants you to, regardless of how bad you were, God wants you to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. Now, there is a sense in which at salvation, you were already made to be conformed to the image of his son. That's spiritually. Your spirit was recreated, right? That's not what we're talking about. We are saying that character-wise, the purpose and intention of God is that you mirror the life that Jesus mirrored when he was on earth. That is one of the main goals of you being saved. And the only way that will happen is if you are growing. And so we are saying the Bible should be studied for growth. How do I know when I'm growing? How do I know when I'm growing? It is when I am walking in the fruit of the Spirit. You see, all Reverend Francis has been teaching us for the past 3-4 Sundays, when you are walking in the Spirit, when you are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit more and more every day, that is the primary sign that you are growing as a believer. Hallelujah. The primary sign that you are growing as a believer is not when they say, well, we have a project, we want to tile the floor of this church, and then you put your hand in your pocket and you just give, don't worry, give all the money. That's good. People that understand ministry, people that are committed to the work of God going on, they do that, and it's fine. But that's not, if somebody does that, that is not conclusive proof that the person is a growing believer, that the person is developing, that the person is maturing as a believer. Hallelujah. Why? Because there are billionaires in this world that give to projects like that. Hallelujah. I work for a man that what he gives out as just free money for the masses every year is enough to feed a whole nation for like 10 years. He just gives, and he doesn't even realize. To him, he's not missing anything. So if putting down huge sums of money is the test of somebody that is growing, then such a person can be said to be growing as a Christian. Well, he's not even born again. Talk less of growing. You see, the primary way you know a man growing is when he's manifesting the... So before, you have not even said anything to me. I've already given it back to you. But now, there is nothing you can say. I'll just say, okay, I've heard you. All right. That is a man that is growing. The Bible says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was, what's the word now? When he was, is that first or second Peter now? When he was persecuted, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That's talking about Jesus. He's referring to how Jesus conducted himself specifically in the face of death. In other words, the situation is so bad that they were killing him and he was just looking. That is the most extreme form, isn't it? How many of us can do that? You know a person wants evil for you. You know a person wants some harm to come to you, but you stay at it. You keep at it. You keep trying to love the person. You keep trying to bless the person's life. You know, it's sad that in the body of Christ today, believers have what they call their enemies. And when they talk about their enemies, they are talking about other Christians. Sometimes you see that your neighbor, that maybe when you spread clothes, you go and push it to the ground and spread his own. Many of us in the night, we are praying against our enemies, and you have that person in mind who is also a believer, who also goes to church. Say, Father, all those that are against me, bring them down. The man that is growing is the man that will come out, see his clothes on the floor, and just pack it, and genuinely will not be angry. Say, okay, I let it go. Someone says, Pastor, you don't understand. Me, I specially have hot temper. The Holy Spirit specially has gentleness. Hallelujah. Self-control, okay. As massive as your hot temper is, that is how massive self-control as a fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit has the ability to douse whatever your natural inclination has come up with. Hallelujah. We are to love our enemies. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. It says, if he slaps one place, turn the other. It says, if he takes your coat, give him your tunic together with it. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. When your character begins to change and be transformed, and where you would be sad, you are now happy. Where you would be angry, you are just full of the joy of the Holy Ghost, and you're just forgiving. Where you were a very troublesome person, you just find yourself peaceful. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. My goodness. You know, there are some people, Christians, believers, they are just too brash. I don't mean physically now, but they just come across as just all over the place. There's such a thing as gentleness. That's what the Bible means when it says, let your moderation, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. Amen. So, so let's write. Okay, hold on. Before we start writing. And so I said that the evidence of this growth is the word of, is the fruit of the Spirit, right? If you are growing, you'll be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm saying the only way to grow is by studying the Bible. Growth comes by studying the Bible. It's not by laying hands. I can lay my hand on you to heal you. I can lay hands on you for all sorts of things, right? But nobody can lay hands on you to grow as a believer. Growth only comes by consuming the Word of God as newborn babies crave, desire, earnestly long for. Whether lawfully or unlawfully, or lawfully. That means whichever way, just want it. Get it at all costs. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And you as you get to know God's voice through the word, you are growing. You become stable. That's another evidence of growth. You become stable. Your mind is no longer all over the place. Hey, what will we do? There's no money. The economy is bad. This one, that one. What's going to happen to us? The Lord is in control. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our provider. You become stable as a believer. Things don't easily get you, you know, all around the place. That's the man that is growing. You know growth primarily through the lifestyle of a man. The way he conducts himself. Hallelujah. Become stable. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Verse 17. Okay, oh yeah, we read 1 Peter 2:2 already. Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss anyone? Against such there is no law. But then look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Timothy. If you are there, just read 3:17. We had quoted, or we had read 16 earlier on, the first part of the verse. Can you see that there is an element of behavior attached to the scripture being divinely breathed? Remember, what is telling us, or what is talking about here, is that the scripture is by inspiration of God. Is that the scripture, it comes by, that the Bible is God's way of expressing himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we here? Let's pay attention. It's telling you that the Bible is God's way of expressing himself, God's way of talking to you. And it is useful to you for, you know, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Is now giving you an additional reason why you should be taught, why you should be corrected, why you should receive instruction in righteousness. He says, so that the man of God, by man of God, he's not talking about the pastor. He's talking about a believer. Amen. Remember, he's writing to Timothy. So he's saying that, he's calling Timothy the man of God, right, in context now. But of course, whatever he's saying to Timothy is applying or applies also to us. You know, one of the reasons why I like 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and even Titus so much is because Paul was writing to them not just because they were pastors, but also because they were believers. Hallelujah. He wasn't just writing those letters to them just because they were pastors. If you read, at many times, he will tell you, hey, this is what a good Christian should do. This is what, you know, as how did he put it, as a good soldier of Christ. He's not saying because you are a pastor. No. He's saying that as someone who is serving God. And that talks about a believer. Amen. Of course, there are other instructions that he gives to him specifically because he's a pastor. He says, when you want to appoint bishops, don't appoint a man that is this, that is that. Those are specific instructions because he's talking to him as a pastor. But in many other places, he's talking to him just as a Christian. Hallelujah. Right? So we can take instruction from this. So he says that the man of God, maybe that is, the scripture is given to achieve all these things that we've talked about, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Hallelujah. The word furnished simply means to equip something or someone fully, to give someone all that he needs to do something. So he's saying that the Bible is God's expression to us so that we can have all we need for good works, for every good work. So that's inclusive of our behavior. Hallelujah. Do we understand? Do we understand? Okay, so now let's write. So number one, what's the number one reason why we should study our Bible? To know God. Okay, and then number two reason, for your growth as a believer. Okay, so the Bible, we're writing now, the Bible, that's under the number 2 points. The Bible is the way that you grow. The Bible is, you can say, primary way that you grow. In fact, it's the only way, actually. So you can strike out primary. Growth does not come any other way except by studying scriptures. Okay? Except by Christian disciplines. Okay, you can put primary because there are other ways. You know, spending time in prayers also builds you up, right? And all such godly disciplines. So you can put primary. That's still correct. The Bible is the primary way you grow as a believer. In 1 Peter 2:2, is it up? It's not. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says, in 1 Peter 2:2, sorry, just give me a minute. Okay, so it will be the network. So you can connect back now. I think it will connect itself. Hallelujah. So where did I stop? In 1 Peter 2:2, Apostle Peter teaches that, in 1 Peter 2:2, Apostle Peter teaches that the devotion of a baby, the devotion of a baby, in 1 Peter 2:2, so if you are listening online, you need to get the notes from those that were in class so that you can write. That's if you are not writing. And for those who will join us for the first time next week as well, they need to take down the notes so that they can catch up. In 1 Peter 2:2, Apostle Peter teaches us that what? The devotion of a baby to its mother's milk. The devotion of a baby to its mother's milk ought to be the devotion of the believer to the Word of God or to the Bible. The devotion of a baby to its mother's milk ought to be the devotion of a believer to the Bible or to the Word of God. Full stop. Growth as a believer is only measured, or can only be measured if you prefer. Growth as a believer can only be measured. Growth as a believer can only be measured by how much the believer growth of a believer can only be measured by how much the believer exhibits or manifests the fruit of the Spirit. How much the believer exhibits or manifests the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, And the fruit of the Spirit only comes when the believer, or when a believer, studies the Word of God. Studies the Word of God. Growth comes by study of scriptures. Growth comes by study of scriptures. Full stop. Growth comes by study of scriptures and not any other way. A growing believer, because there's truly nothing like a growing believer will be able to know God's voice. And be stable in his Christianity. A growing believer will be able to know God's voice and will be stable in his or her Christianity. Such a believer will, or such a believer has all he needs. Such a believer has all he needs to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Such a believer has all he needs to manifest the fruit of the Spirit by studying God's word. By studying God's word. By studying God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So number three reason, this one is quite straightforward. Number three reason to be able to teach others the word of God. So we'll just take this one down and then we will. So the reason why listening when I'm explaining is important because it's not every single thing I explain that we write down when we are doing the dictation. So don't think I won't pay attention. I'll just be doing some other thing. I'll just be thinking. When he starts dictating, I'll now write. No, you won't get the most from the meeting because it's not every single thing that I said in the explanation that is being dictated, right? The dictation is just what helps you when you go back to look at it, go back to study it. Hallelujah. Okay? But then the explanation and the dictation, they are complementary. They come together. They work together. Amen. So what did I say is the third reason? To be able to teach others. To be able to teach. We can say to be able to teach others the word of God. Or to be able to teach others the Bible. Hallelujah. So we will continue from here next week. Right? We'll continue from here next week. This service is just supposed to be 1.5 hours. So by 7:30 we're supposed to close. So we're going to stop here. And we'll give space for questions. Okay. Another very good benefit of coming together physically is that we have a very good opportunity to ask questions. So if you have any question, or if you have a contribution, something you want to add, or if there's anything that is not clear, anything that you didn't really understand very well, anything that you did not really understand or did not understand fully that you want me to explain again, or even if you have a question that is about something that we did not discuss today, that's also possible. That's also possible. We are on a very long journey. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. So you need to begin to ask questions and stimulate your mind to pay attention to these things. Okay, so can I ask my own questions since nobody has a question? Can I ask my own questions? Okay. Who can explain to me what that phrase given by the inspiration of God means? You know, we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. By the way, did I explain all those items one after I did not? Okay. So when the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Okay, I explained it up to doctrine and I got sidetracked. Let me quickly go through it. For doctrine, the word doctrine there is the word didaskalia in the Greek. Didaskalia, you may want to write it if you want. Didaskalieah. Didaskalieah. Didaskalia. Okay, and it simply means teaching. Doctrine, teaching. Teaching. As I'm teaching you now, I am giving you what? Doctrine. Hallelujah. So, it's useful for teaching, or it's profitable for teaching, for reproof. Reproof. The word reproof is the word that means evidence. Hallelujah. So, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God for teaching, for evidence. So, when you have faith or when you believe in God, it is because you have the reason for it. And that reason is the Bible. So that's the reproof, the evidence. You know, Christianity is not just blind faith. Say, there's one God that we've never seen. There's one Jesus, they told us, that came to the earth to die. But, you know, nobody has ever seen him. Nobody knows whether it is really true. But just believe it. No, the Bible is the evidence for God. It is the Bible, it is the word of God that you consume that builds up faith in the person of God. So that's why it says that one of the reasons why all scripture is divinely breathed or is given by the inspiration of God is for what? Evidence. That's the word reproof, evidence, conviction, proof. Amen. For correction. The word correction is the word that means straightening up again. Straightening up again. Figuratively, it also means rectification. Rectification. So, when we say correction, when something is not straight, when something is not in the proper way it should be, right? You correct it, you straighten it. You straighten it. It's like a plant. The idea there is of a gardener that goes into the garden and sees a plant that ought to be growing up straight. And he sees it falling down. He picks it up and just straightens it. Hallelujah. He puts it along the path that it should be growing. So that's the word correction. So the scripture is there to straighten us, to make us in alignment. Hallelujah. With God's will and God's word. For instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For instruction in righteousness. I like that word instruction very much. It's the word padia in the Greek. Padia in the Greek. That's P-A-I-D-P-A-I-D-E-I-A. P-A-I-D-E-I-A. P-A-I-D-E-I-A. Okay? And it means tutorage. That is education or training. Instruction, education, training. By implication, it means discipline. Yeah? Chastening, chastisement, nurturing. The idea in this word is that of when you are teaching children, when you gather children in a class, in a school, you are educating them. And when they misbehave, you punish them, to chasten them, to correct them, to tell them, this thing you have done is wrong, so go and kneel down, or so no sweets for you. That's the word instruction. You are nurturing them, you are bringing them up. Right? So the word of God is useful for educating us, for training us. That's the word instruction. Instruction in what? It says righteousness. Hallelujah. That word righteousness is diakosune. It talks about character. It talks about character there now. Amen. That is equity of character. Equity of character or actions. That is, you are acting in a way that is equitable, that is, in a way that is just, in a way that is right. You can just substitute that word righteousness with the word just, good, correct. Amen. Christian character, Christian righteousness. So he's saying that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God for teaching us how to behave like Christians, how to behave in a good way, teaching us, instructing us, disciplining us so that we can behave in a just way, in a right way. Hallelujah. Precious seed.